in Daniel chapter 2. I'm going to kind of jump around, so if you'll follow me, my apologies to all of the media people for not getting you my notes. The reason why I didn't get them to you is because I don't have any. And thank you, brother. And I just feel like I wanted to go another direction. I wanted to make y'all shout, and I wanted y'all to leave and say, man, he could really preach good. But I feel like God is wanting to challenge some young people to be what he's called them to be. And so if you will look at this with me, in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams wherewith his spirit was troubled, and his sleep brake from him. Then the king commanded to call all the magicians and the astrologers and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans for to show the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king, and the king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. Then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Syriac, O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation. Now, I want you to look at that young man and young lady. I want you to look at that verse real close. Don't just tell your dreams to anybody. They'll interpret them the wrong way. You need a man of God in your life that will tap into the same dream that God has given you. I'm getting ahead of myself, but I just felt in the Holy Ghost that you don't just tell anybody your dreams. They'll have you totally misinterpreting what God has called you to be and to do. And he said, the king answered and said unto the Chaldeans, the thing is gone from me. If you will not make unto me the dream with the interpretation thereof, ye shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill. For some of you that don't know old English, that's a manure pile. But if you show the dream and the interpretation thereof, you shall receive of me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore, show me the dream and the interpretation thereof. They answered again and said, let the king tell his servants the dream, and we'll show the interpretation of it. And the king answered and said, I know of a certainty that ye would gain the time, because you see this thing is gone from me. But if ye will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree for you, for ye have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me till the time be changed. Therefore tell me the dream, and I shall know that ye can show me the interpretation thereof. I know I'm reading quite a bit, but I need to. Is that all right? The Chaldeans answered before the king and said, there's not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. You're right about that. Men can't do it. You need to remember that too. Therefore, there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asks such a thing at any magician or astrologer or Chaldean. And it is a rare thing that the king requireth, and there is none other that can show it before the king except the gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh. For this cause the king was angry and very furious, and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain. They sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. We'll finish reading here in a little bit, but I want to talk about recovering your dream. Recovering your dream. But before I do that, can you put your Bibles down beside you and lift your hands, and let's just tap into the Holy Ghost for a little bit. Will you help me do that, young man, young lady? Come on, brothers and sisters, let's fill this house with our praise and our worship. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, young man, young lady. You shouted with the beat. Can you shout with the meat? Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise God. God bless you. You may be seated. I travel a lot. In fact, 2 years ago, I got to looking at my calendar, and that year I was in 11 countries and 22 states in 1 year. And I like to travel, but I don't like to travel that much. That just happened to be a year that was an exceptional year that I was traveling. And I see a lot of young people. I love young people. I think that they are untapped potential. The potential that is in the life of a young person is, and I'm not talking hyperbole here, okay? I'm not trying to hype you out. I believe that it is unlimited. That the greatest resource that the apostolic movement has are its young people. Do you know, young man and young lady, if you study, I think it was, wasn't a Gallup poll, it was this guy, he does all these numbers for churches and stuff. I can't remember, I was looking at his website, and they polled all religious people around the world, not just Christians, but Muslims. They polled Hindus. They polled Buddhists. They polled Christians. They polled Catholics. And I'm not making that division, but a lot of Catholics don't consider themselves Christians. They consider themselves Catholics. And it's more of a traditional deal. They polled the Jewish people, and they found out that over 88% of all conversions worldwide of any faith, of any religion, over 88% of all conversions occur before the age of 14. I didn't make that up. That's what... So... All of you that think young people are a wasted effort, you are playing right into the hands of the devil. Let me tell you something. The rock and rollers don't think that young people are a waste of time. The advertisers, you look at the demographics of the advertisers. Who do they really reach for? They reach for young people. The majority of advertisement goes to young people. The pornographers don't think that young people are a waste of their effort and their time. And so I'm befuddled, Pastor Worth, why many in the church think that it's a waste of time to have a youth program and have a Sunday school program and have a bus ministry program. I'm befuddled. The only conclusion I can come to, Brother Worth, is that we've grown comfortable. God has blessed us, and we don't have to work as hard as we used to have to work, and we've got houses, and we got cars, and we have all of that stuff. But I still think that there is a hungry world out there. I still think that there are young people that are ready to hear this gospel. I think that if we can awaken the youth in the apostolic movement, we'll see revival like we have never seen revival before. There's two things I want to major on tonight. The first thing is you have to have a dream, young person. You have to have a dream. And you have to have a dream from God. You can't just let anybody give you their dream. You see, most of the time when we talk about this, we talk about Nebuchadnezzar's dream, but it was not Nebuchadnezzar's dream. God used Nebuchadnezzar to get to Daniel. Nebuchadnezzar wasn't the one that God was trying to get to. Nebuchadnezzar was the tool to get to a teenage boy. He was a teenager, if you study it out. We live in such a world, young men and young ladies. We are so afraid of tribulation anymore. We are so afraid. I'm going to say some things you may not like, but you know what? Brother Worth likes me. That's all that matters. And I got a great church at home to preach at, so not evangelizing anymore. But I'm going to say what God told me to say tonight. We're even afraid of pain. You know, I think this is a bunch of bull honky, whatever that is. My dad come up with that word. I don't know what bull honky is, but the Marines say that pain is just weakness leaving your body. Well, I don't know about that. Because the older I get, the stronger I get. I think. But if you're not careful, you will not recognize that pain and tribulation and trials and offense and hurts are sent by the devil to distract you from the call of God and the dreams that God has for your life. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. What I'm saying is exactly right. I'm going to tell you something, young men and young lady. Many of you were raised in the church, and you don't know the heartache of seeing your family split up. And you don't know the heartache of coming home and hearing your father cuss your mother out and slap her around and beat her till she's bloody. And you don't know the heartache. Thank God. Thank God. But that's not the norm in our world anymore. Two out of every three marriages wind up in separation or divorce in America. That has left a whole bunch of young people bewildered. Now, I'm going to tell you something, brothers and sisters. We can sit around and wring our hands about this, or we can become what God has called us to become and say, I'm not sitting around watching this happen. I have a dream. I have a dream. It came from God. God uses exceptional ways to put us in contact with that dream. He might even use a Nebuchadnezzar to put us in contact with that dream. He might even, there's so much about this story. This story doesn't start in Daniel. This story starts over in the book of Jeremiah. This story starts clear over in the book of 2 Chronicles, Pastor Worth, where a prophet begins to prophesy to backslidden God's people that were compromising and backsliding and going the way of the world. And God sent prophets to prophesy to them. There was Jeremiah. There was, and later on there was Ezekiel. They're all contemporaries. I believe it was Hosea. I can't remember right now in my study of all of this. But y'all bored with this? Can I just talk about what God put on my heart to preach about tonight? I tell you, young people, I'm not going to act like you're a bunch of ignoramuses. Because I think sometimes we sell young people short. They're far more smarter than we give them credit for. I don't think our young people need another gymnasium. And I'm not against gymnasiums. I don't think they need another hot dog social. And I'm not against hot dog socials. I'll tell you what our young people need. They need challenged in the Holy Ghost. They need a man of God. They need a church that'll step up and say, we can be who God called us to be. We can be the youth group at school that we are on a Sunday morning. And Daniel and Shadrach and Abednego were young men, teenagers. As Jeremiah begins to prophesy, and they heard the prophecies of Jeremiah, as he began to talk about the judgment, the impending judgment of God that was coming upon a nation, I can imagine that social media started blowing up when Jeremiah started prophesying. And everybody on social media was saying he had a bad attitude, he was a hate monger. He didn't like homosexuals. He didn't like lesbians. He was a racist and a homophobic. He was none of those. He was crying out against sin. Let me tell you something, young man. The Bible said, Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. I'm not letting them back me in a corner and tell me that I hate people because I stand up and preach against sin. Not gonna do it. Hey, I don't call them gay people because there's nothing about that lifestyle that's gay. But I'm gonna tell you something. The homosexuals are coming out of the closet. The lesbians are coming out of the closet. The transgender are coming out of the closet. I think the apostolics ought to come out of the closet. I don't think that we have to hide behind a facade and a patina, a bravado that is false ego and arrogance. I think we ought to love everybody. But I think we ought to have the spirit of Daniel. I think we ought to have the spirit of Shadrach. I think we ought to have the spirit of Abednego. I think we ought to have the spirit of Esther. Somewhere some young people have to get a hold of who God called them to be. And if we get a hold of this, I'm telling you, Satan is petrified that God's young people are going to recognize who they are. He is petrified that they're going to tap into the dream and the vision of God. You need to ask yourself right now, young man, have you ever won a soul to God? Come on, we can shout real good. We know how to do the apostolic shuffle. We practiced it for years. We know how to do all that stuff. But is there a passion burning in your heart? I'm going to rescue somebody from hell this year. I'm going to rescue somebody from hell this year. God, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. Come on, the Holy Ghost is challenging some young people at this back-to-school rally. What will this thing be next year, Pastor Worth, if we tap into the dream that God has for His young people? What about a brother on your job? Maybe I'm preaching to some adults here tonight. Have you ever won anybody to God? Is it eating on you, God?
I want to take dominion over spirits. I want to take dominion, oh God. I want to rescue somebody. I don't only want to, I'm going to. I'm going to do it in Jesus' name. God, you're going to lead me to somebody this year. I'm going to find somebody.
You can't be intimidated by persecution, young man. Young lady, you can't be intimidated. Well, that boy at school, he might not like me. I wish I had time to really deal with all this stuff tonight. But have you thought to consider, young man, young lady, that 10 years from now, 10 years from now, think this through. You probably won't even recognize 97% of the people that you went to high school with. Let alone have any kind of relationship with them. So why in the world are you letting that peer pressure of that environment keep you from being who God called you to be? 10 years from now, they will have no influence in your life. Brother Carricker, I was in Hutchinson a few months ago and somebody walked up and said, "How you doing, Paul?" And I said, "I'm fine. How are you?" It was an older lady. And I thought, man, she looks old. Of course, I look really young. And she's just talking up a storm. And then she recognized, she said, "You don't remember who I am, do I? Do you?" I said, "I'm so sorry. I don't recognize who you are." She said, "We went to high school together," and she told me who she was. And I said, "Oh, yeah," and I still didn't remember who she was. So why, young man and young lady, are you letting peer pressure keep you from being who God called you to be? Will you let peer pressure detour you from the vision and the dream and the calling of God in your life? Now, I don't think any of us have been persecuted like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. More than likely, they watched their parents killed right before their very eyes. When the Babylonians, it really wasn't Nebuchadnezzar. Now, Nebuchadnezzar is the one that laid siege, but at this time it was his dad, Nebuchadnezzar or something like that, that was actually the king. But it was Nebuchadnezzar that besieged Jerusalem. And the first time he took Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. Now, if you had a map up here, Israel is over here to the top of that map. And Babylon is clear back down over here, 600 miles away from where Israel was. Actually, Babylon is where Abraham originally come from. The land of the Chaldeans is where God called him out of her, and he made his way from there up to the promised land. We will now do a little biblical geography for some of you. You know, you don't have to be a dingbat to be an apostolic. I caught a snag there. Let me back up and say that. You don't have to be a dingbat to be an apostolic. And they were the finest, Brother Worth, of the land. These young men were very committed. The young ladies that were taken, the Bible says they were the royalty. They were the princes. They were all of those. Whether you know it or not, young man and young lady, God has placed you right down in the middle of Babylon right now. You are living in modern day Babylon. But you are not just a nobody. I have Bible for this. If you have repented of your sins and you have been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ and God has filled you with the Holy Ghost,
First Peter says, but ye are a royal priesthood. You are a royal priesthood. Ye are a peculiar people. You are a holy nation. God has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but now are the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy, that you should show forth the praise of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You got to recognize who you are. If you're going to make it in Babylon, you got to recognize who you are. I said, if you're going to make it in Babylon, you got to recognize who you are. Be seated. And so they make the long trek, 600 miles by feet, walk with all of the memories of their parents being killed right before their very eyes. That was a very prominent thing that the Babylonians did. In fact, was it Zedekiah the king that actually was the backslidden son of Josiah? That was the little vassal king that Nebuchadnezzar put there when he killed the other king. Can't remember his name. Took his family into Jehoiakim, I think it was. Took him into captivity. And Zedekiah, the last thing he saw was Nebuchadnezzar killing his boys. And then he put his eyes out and took him into captivity into Babylon. I'm going to tell you something, young man, young lady. The world does not love you. The world does not love you. They'll make slaves out of you. They will make slaves out of you. You think it's cool now because you're in junior high to puff on a cigarette, but 10 years from now, every puff you take, you'll say, I hate this thing. I wish to God I could put it down. I hate this with a passion. I wish. Come on now. Come on now. Oh, yeah, they just legalized marijuana in Colorado a couple of years ago. No big deal. It's for medication, entertainment. It can't hurt you. Since they've legalized it, the price of marijuana has went from $50 an ounce to $250 an ounce for all of these poor kids. So the poor kids don't smoke marijuana anymore. The drug cartel from Mexico has come in, and they're selling black tar heroin for $20 a pop. And so now the kids aren't smoking marijuana anymore. They're all hooked on crack cocaine or black tar heroin. And even though we didn't even recognize it, we always knew that marijuana was a gateway drug. And through the back door, marijuana has introduced heroin to our young people in a way that we never dreamed that it would introduce heroin to our young people. I'm telling you, young man and young lady, the world is not your friend. Babylon is not your friend. Brother Elder, what can we do? We're here. I'll tell you what you can do. You can do what Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. They prayed. They prayed. They prayed. Let me tell you something, young man. You know who's going to teach you how to pray? Your mama ain't going to teach you how to pray. Your buddy ain't going to teach you how to pray. Your pastor ain't going to teach you how to pray. Your friends at school ain't going to teach you how to pray. Your girlfriend ain't going to teach you how to pray. Your boyfriend ain't going to teach you how to pray. Your husband ain't going to teach you how to pray. Your wife ain't going to teach you how to pray. You know who's going to teach you how to pray? You're going to teach yourself how to pray. You're going to get yourself and say, I'm going to make my way through this. I'm going to get to it. Come on, young man. Why are you waiting till you're 20, 25 before you develop a prayer life with God? Why not now? Why not now? Why not now?
And so they made the 600-mile trip. And when they got there, Nebuchadnezzar said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll pay for your education. Man, if Nebuchadnezzar pays for your education, take it. Duh. Some of you are cringing right now. Oh, I know. I know. But God's going to need some young people in high places that have not bent their knee to Baal. Did you know Nebuchadnezzar worshipped Baal? Nebuchadnezzar. He worshipped Murdoch. Baal Murdoch. Baal was the prominent god of that day. Every worship of Baal that I've ever studied has roots to immorality. They were known as fertile gods. And everything the world wants to do, it wants to pervert your morality before God. We could talk about Baal Peor, which is such a vile worship, I won't even talk about it in mixed company. We can talk about Baal Berith, which is such a vile worship, I don't even want to talk about it in front of mixed company. We can talk about Baal Murdoch, which is so perverted, I don't even want to talk about it in mixed company. Just a few months ago, I was in Israel and I was down around the Dead Sea Valley and I got to feeling something funky down there in the spirit. I looked at my wife and I said, am I going nutso? Just a few miles away, and we drove right by it, was the Mount of Temptation where Jesus was tempted. I thought, what is so funky about this? And I got to studying. And most, even the Jewish tradition, says that's where God kicked Satan into the earth. And that's where he come in, is on the Mount of Temptation. And all of the funky worship, if you go up in there, all of the worship of the Baal Peor, Baal Berith, which is right there. The people came, they didn't even come across the Jordan River. They stayed on the other side of Jordan River and they built a tower to Baal Berith. God's people built a tower to Baal Berith. And they taught their young people, they taught their children how to worship in this house to this God. It wasn't the house of God, but they called it the house of God. I'm telling you, apostolics, we need some young people that know who their God is. It was Daniel that said, they that know their God shall be strong and shall do exploits. I believe the whole time that Daniel was in their school. 3 years. Read it. In Daniel chapter 1 verse number 5. For 3 years they were in college. They were in the finest education that Babylon had. And the whole time, I'll guarantee you, Daniel was saying, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart. And they were teaching him all of the magics of Babylon. They were teaching him all the sciences of Babylon. They were teaching him all the mathematics of Babylon. Many of the techniques of mathematics that you teach your kids today, we learned it from Babylon. So what are you saying, Brother Elder? I'm saying God needs some young people that he can depend on, that can go to these colleges without compromising. Now, if you're just doing it to get away from your pastor and doing it to get away from your mom and dad and doing it for all of that, I'm not preaching to you anyway.
Because I don't preach to people that don't want to hear the Word of God. I just preach to those that are hungry to hear the Word of God. And I believe there's some young people here tonight that want to hear the Word of God. So they tell you there is such a thing as evolution. Let me read you some of the stuff. You know, I am a college professor. Astronomers now find they have painted themselves into a corner because they have proven by their own methods. One of them is quantum physics, which we had no quantum physics before computers. Quantum physics has made evolution obsolete, but you got a bunch of FM maggot-infested, long-haired professors that are tenured, that they've been there since the 1960s. They've not learned anything new, and they're still spouting the same trash that they learned back in the 50s. And that time is so far gone, kids just sit there and roll their eyes when they hear them spout that trash off. Now, I know some of you come to hear the same old candy sticks of apostolic. Okay, for your sake, I believe there's one God and His name is Jesus Christ. There's not a Trinity. I believe in holiness. You can't make it to heaven without living holy and separated. I believe in long dresses and long hair on women and short hair and long pants on men. Have I qualified that now? Can I go back to preaching to these young people some of the challenges that they have to face in their day? Hey, brothers and sisters, in your day, you were combating the Trinitarian doctrine because all of America was Christian. But your kids are encountering Buddhism. Your kids are encountering Eastern mysticism. Your kids are encountering Hinduism. Your kids are encountering demon worship. I was reading the other day, 85% of all of the sitcoms on TV, which I don't know because I don't have a TV. But 85% of the sitcoms on TV deal with homosexuality and witchcraft. That's what our kids are facing. Some of us got to get our head out of the sand and say, all right, if my kid's going to face those kind of demons, then I'm going to preach about a God that's bigger than any devil. He's bigger than any boogeyman. He's bigger than anything they're going to encounter. They backed themselves in a corner because they've proven by their own methods that the world began abruptly in an act of creation to which you can trace the seeds of every star, every planet, everything in this cosmos and on the earth. And they have found that all this happened in a product of forces they cannot hope to discover. That there are what I or anyone would call supernatural forces at work is now, I think, a scientific proven fact. Robert Jastow, NASA scientist and astronomer. Duh! If you'd been listening to your pastor, he's preaching that a long time ago. Why did I read that? Because the devil wants to destroy your faith in the man of God. He wants to make you think this man don't know anything. That he's an old-fashioned, old fogey. Oh, no. Oh, no. Sit down, please. He's not old-fashioned. He's not new. What he's preaching is eternal. See, brothers and sisters, you don't create truth. You simply discover truth. Nobody created electricity. They just discovered it and learned how to empower it and generate it. But it was already here. The I don't have time to get into this, but the first law of thermodynamics is that no energy can revert to a higher state. It has to revert to a lower state. I knew that from reading the Bible. Romans chapter 13 says, all power came from God. Therefore, let every soul be subject to the higher power, for the powers that be are ordained of God. All you got to do is read the Bible and believe it.
So, after 3 years of convincing Chet, my wife said that the musicians here need to play for altar service. So whoever you are, this sister on the piano, come up here. Where's the organ player? There you are, sis. Man, I like to watch them play. I leaned over and told Joe, man, if I could play, I'd want to play with that kind of passion. I was watching that piano player. She was... That is... Girl, that is sick now. That is wicked sick. Can you help me out? Come play. This don't mean I'm closing, but it'll give them some hope. Now, we're talking about Daniel watching his parents killed. Those young men were made eunuchs. That means they couldn't have a family. Every way in the world to destroy their identity. Their name was changed from their Hebrew name to a Babylonian name. But it did not shake their faith in God. They said, we're going to change your diet. How many temptations in the Bible deal with food? Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Jesus, who else? Eve. Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you eat. Uh-oh, I have God in the apostolic's backyard. I feel the Holy Ghost. How many of you feel the Holy Ghost moving in this house? I believe there's some young people, their life's going to be changed tonight. How many of you believe God's going to do some things to some young people tonight? See, I can talk about all this, but it's surface. But what about the torment of losing his mom and dad? And when I get to heaven, I want to meet these boys, dad and mom. What did they say to these kids to instill this kind of faith? What were the last words before his daddy's throat was slit when he looked at Daniel and said, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Remember Daniel. Remember, son. Remember Daniel. In the weeks following them making him a eunuch, the torment of knowing that I'll never have children. You could have been like some of us. You did this to me, God! And there were many Jewish people that did the same thing that I just said, but not Daniel. In fact, in all of the haze of that persecution and that torment, here comes the head of the eunuchs and says, look, you're not eating, Daniel. Daniel looked at him and said, I can't eat that meat offered to idols. I can't do that. I'm not doing the wave at a football game. The only time I do the, I don't even go to football games. You know, all kinds of apostolics are posting on Facebook and Instagram, and maybe you don't believe in all that. God bless you. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm not going to football games. I don't care if my best buddy does all that. Sports have become the national religion of America. Oh, yeah, I've heard KOA. The 50,000-watt blowtorch is what they call it. I've heard the advertisement on KOA say, if football is your God, then come and worship with us at our temple. I've heard the advertisement, brother. That's what they say about the Broncos. And if you live in Colorado, you know exactly what I'm saying. But some of you know what I'm saying because that's the way they feel about the Jayhawks and the Shockers. And I'm hitting some of you now, aren't I? Brother Elder, I don't see anything wrong with it. Then you're agreeing with them that if you are against gay marriage and you are against homosexuality, that you can be kicked off the team. And now you're agreeing with your sports gods that wrong is right and right is wrong. And you're agreeing that last year, don't take my word for it, look it up. Last year, I looked up a police blog for all of the NFL men that are indicted. And there was like 4,000 and some men that are hired by the NFL. And over 20% of them were indicted with felonies. And over 80% of those felonies was abuse. I'm telling you something, young man and young lady, you're getting yourself involved in a field. And you may, and I think there's good people involved in that field. That's not the issue. If you leave a screwdriver in a magnetic field long enough, what will happen to that screwdriver? It will assume the characteristics and the morality of that field. And if you let your mind play in that field long enough, and if you give your worship long enough, and if you get involved in that long enough, here's Daniel. Man, I haven't got to the good part of this, but I got to quit. See, all of this is going on, young man, because God is preparing you. All this is going on, young lady. I'm going to say some very, very tough things. There are... one out of every three young ladies in America has been molested. So there's a good chance there's young ladies in this room right now, nobody looking around, that's been molested. Oh, we don't talk about this in Pentecost. We only talk about what makes everybody get up and shout. No, I'm not just interested in people looking right. I'm interested in people being right. And the most amazing thing is one out of every four men in America have been molested. A lot of that's coming because of divorce and remarriage and step-parents and extended families. And nobody wants to talk about this, but I'm going to talk about it. Because that is one of Satan's greatest ways to destroy your dream and your faith. Your faith in your God, and once your faith in your God is destroyed, then your faith in yourself is destroyed. But I'm going to tell you something, young lady. Just because somebody took advantage of you doesn't mean God's finished with you. Doesn't mean that your life is ruined. Doesn't mean that God ever took his hand off of you. Doesn't mean that God does not have a future and a plan for you, sis. Oh, I feel this. Come on, if Daniel can go through what he went through and still be what God called him to be, you can too, sis. Oh,
Jesus said this, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to set at liberty them that are bruised. Bruising causes bondage. Stuff happens in people's life where they receive a blow and they're stuck there. Why is it? Why is it that the impactful moments of your life are failure? When it ought to be that those times in your life that bring victory to you should mold and make you. And Daniel, see, we don't talk about the psychological side of these young men. Maybe that's why God let four of them be together. Because they could encourage one another. Be seated, please. One of the most touching stories was told me right after my father passed away. They were roofing our church, Brother Worth. I'm almost done. Really, I mean it, I promise. And the man that was roofing our church one afternoon was talking to me, and he said, "Preacher, do you like to fish?" And I said, "Yeah, I like to fish." Make a long story short. He said, "I was up at Twin Lakes, which is a beautiful lake, way up in the mountains, big lake in Colorado. And he said, my brother and I, we were about 16, 17. We had this little John boat out on the lake, and Mount Elbert, which is the highest mountain in Colorado, is right there, and the wind comes over that mountain into that lake. Wonderful mack fishing, which is what we call lake trout. Big lake trout in there. My son caught a 23-pounder out of there. And they were fishing. And the wind come up. And all they had was a little trolling motor. And they made it into the cove. Pulled the John boat up on the bank. And we're sitting there waiting it out. And the cloud went over. You have to understand the little microclimates that happen in the mountains all the time. And they thought that the weather was over with. So they put the John boat out on the lake. Got out in the middle of the lake. And the wind come up again and dumped that John boat upside down. And here they are in about 45-degree water. And both of them had life jackets on, but they were camo life jackets for duck hunting. They had one little orange life jacket that was caught underneath the boat. And for 45 minutes, they clung to the side of that John boat. They were freezing. And finally, the oldest one, I think his name was John, he looked at the guy that was telling me this story, and he said, I can't remember his name, I just call him Pete. For the story's sake, he said, "Pete, I can't make it anymore. I'm freezing. I'm going to let go. I'm going." And the guy that was telling me the story, he was the one that was telling his brother, I can't go anymore. And his brother reached down and grabbed him and started screaming at him and started cussing and saying, "Look, you're my brother and you're not going to die. Do you hear what I'm saying? We didn't come through everything. We come through together in this life for you to die on me right now. Now get a hold of yourself. You're going to make it." He said, "Okay, I'm going to make it." About 30 minutes later, the brother that was screaming at him looked at him and said, "I just ain't gonna make it, Pete." And Pete said, he told me this. He said, "I grabbed him, Pastor, and I started screaming at him, and I started cussing at him just like he was cussing at me, saying, 'Look, 30 minutes ago you told me I wasn't gonna die, and if I can't die, then you ain't gonna die. Now you get a hold of yourself and get a hold of this boat. We're gonna make it. Do you understand?'" We're laughing, but while he was telling me that, tears were flowing down my face. I wonder, God, what would happen in the apostolic world if brothers would take care of themselves like that and sisters would take care of each other like that. Except for the cussing part. You can remain standing. So one morning, see, I tried my best. I spent the last almost hour painting the process of Daniel and these young men's life.
before the real activity of God takes place. Because everybody talks about how God used Daniel for the dream. But what about the molding of his faith? What about the challenge of trial? What about the challenge of pain? What about the challenge of persecution? Until they hear a knock on the door. And the door burst open. And they're drug out of their bed. And they're stumbling down the street with the captain of the guard dragging them. And Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego are saying, "What's going on? What's happened? What did we do? What's the deal?" And the captain said, "You didn't do anything. The king has commanded that all of the magicians and all of the scientists and everybody be put to death." And Daniel's bewildered. What did I do? What did I do? What's the deal? And he said, the king had a dream and he can't remember his dream. It's fled from him. So they couldn't find it and they couldn't tell him what it was. So he's killing all the magicians. Daniel said, "Hold on. Take me to the king. Let me go talk to the king." And so they take him to the king. And you know the story. He said, "Oh, king, you're right. No man can interpret it, this dream. But there is a God. And his name ain't Baal Murdoch. He's the God of the universe. He's God over every other God. He's God over everything. Give me a few days. Let me and these boys," and the same boys that kept talking to each other about, "Come on, you can make it, Daniel. Come on, Shadrach, you can make it. Come on." They get down on their knees and they begin to pray. And they pray. And they pray. And they pray. It's not anything new. You know, some 60 years later, you find Daniel in the greatest trial of his life. He's 80 years old now. And guess where you find him? You find him praying. "Pastor, you, every time I talk to you, it's, well, have you prayed?" Well, have you prayed? It's quiet in here. Then was the secret revealed to Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He give wisdom unto the wise. He begins to worship God. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might and hast made known unto me now what you desired of thee. For thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter." And all of a sudden overnight, and I'm done, wisdom, wealth, status in the kingdom, all of a sudden comes to Daniel. Young man, I know I'm not preaching to everybody tonight, but God told me to preach this. And God is reaching for some young men. And some young ladies, you're going to catch the dream. You're going to catch the dream. You're going to get the vision of God. But you're not going to get it outside the Holy Ghost, because I've saved this scripture for last. "In the last day, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see
visions. We talk about the Holy Ghost saving us, and it does. We talk about the Holy Ghost healing us, and it does. We talk about the Holy Ghost delivering us from demon oppression, and it does. We talk about the Holy Ghost answering our prayers, and it does. And it does. But I'm going to tell you another thing it does, brothers and sisters. The Holy Ghost brings visions and dreams. The Holy Ghost brings visions and dreams. That's why we have to have a move of the Holy Ghost in every service that we have. We have to have a move of the Holy Ghost. Come on, young man and young lady. You're not going to see it out there. You're going to see it in an altar somewhere. You're going to see God's plan in the spirit somewhere while you're praying and you're seeking the face of God. Let's lift our hands and let's worship Him. Come on, let's worship Him. Let's get in the Holy Ghost. Yeah, there's going to be preachers, there's going to be missionaries. There's going to be all of that. But I wonder if we had an apostolic, a real apostolic in the White House right now, influencing. Not just a pseudo. What about a young man, young lady? God doesn't call everybody to do the same thing. But you're not going to find out what God calls you to do without tapping into the Holy Ghost. Passionately is to be what you call me to be. That's what I'll be. I will be what you call me to be. I'll say yes. Come on, Esther. Esther was less than 20 years of age when she faced the greatest trial in her life. Come on, Esther! I will be what you call me to be. I'll say yes. Lord, I agree. My desire passionately. Come on, musician. Used to be the world looked at the apostolic world to find their inspiration. Why is it apostolic musicians are looking at the world now? Come on, musician. What would God use you to do if you sold out to Him tonight? Preachers, can you help us? Moms and dads, can you help us? Let's pray with these young people.